Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Compared to me. So basically what I wanted to chat to you about is because, so the podcast is like all about sex, shame, dating, all of that. And so me and Des started it because we were over in America and he had experienced that in Ireland. And then I over here, everybody was so open. But you came to Ireland 10 years ago, is it?
Yeah, more now. So 2002, I came here for the first time. But then we moved back. Sandy, Miss Sandra's from Dublin. We moved back to, we met in Australia. She was backpacking. Then we moved back to Australia after a year in Ireland. So we lived in Australia for a year, maybe a bit more, and then back to Ireland, then London for 5 years, and then back. So maybe nearly 18 years in Ireland. So I'm nearly an adult. My Irish self is nearly an adult.
Yeah, you're nearly, you're sure. When I left Ireland, I was 24. So in a few more years, you'll be in Ireland longer than I was.
And full on. And it sounds like it. I'm really picked up the accent.
Wait, so you met your missus in Australia just backpacking. So how long were you together before you made the move over here?
I was lucky. She was only in town. Like, I met her at the airport. I was just waiting for hot people to come through the arrival. She had a year visa, you know, like the holiday visa. And then like the J1 that you get for America. But I don't know what they call the one for Australia, A1 or J2 or something. But... And I met her, like, she was only in Australia a month at that time. So I got a full 11 months to get to know her before she moved back to Ireland. I'm like, you're not going anywhere, I'm coming.
That sounded like a threat.
But no, it was one of those instant things when I saw her. And I was, I'd like to assume when she saw me, but I think I was more of a grower. But it was like... It was 1 a.m. and it was in a nightclub. So, you know, you can't hear the romantic, you can't hear the Carpenters come on, why do birds over the...
Well, wait, so you just saw her in the nightclub and you're like, yeah, I'm going to date this girl.
Well, I was working in the bar. Oh. It was a sweet job, right? Because I just moved to Melbourne because I grew up in Perth. I was born in Adelaide, grew up in Perth. So I'm a bit of what you hear in Australia, a flame and mongrel, because I was bloody all over the shop. But then moved to Melbourne to do stand-up, because that's where the biggest comedy festival in Australia is, Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then, so I moved there, started on the open spot again. So the nightclub I worked in was open from 5 p.m. till 5 a.m. and it only got busy at midnight because it was seedy as, it was in St Kilda, and when everyone got kicked out, they ended up in this nightclub. The Sunset Strip. So I got a job there because they did comedy there on a Wednesday. So I did a set there, told about how I just got fired from my new job. And they went, is that true? And I went, yeah. And they go, do you want to work here? And I went, darn right. And then like a few months later, so I would work, I'd do gigs there on a Wednesday and then work behind the bar and then until like 5, 6 in the morning. And then I'd do other open spots in other places and then start work after my set at midnight. So when I'm finished... It was ideal for just open spots because that's when you're wide awake, you're pumped. You don't mind working after you've done a set because you want to think about it, where you went wrong and all that. But I wasn't even a cool bar person. I had a white bucket. I worked behind the bar and then I was demoted because I just kept drinking. I just kept drinking it. So I was like, they were like, he's not allowed behind the bar anymore, but you take this white bucket, like a plastic one, and just collect, you know, glasses and empty ashtrays and vomit up, like, mop up vomit. And my class. So I was emptying her ashtray, and I hadn't seen. I was just grabbing the ashtray, emptying it into the bucket, and she pinched me on the ass. Bingo!
Oh my God! Wow!
And there you go. Couldn't believe my luck.
Wow. And so she pinched you on the arse, and then you were like, this is great. And it rolls a reverse, totally different situation.
Register.
And then what happened then? You said, do you want to go out sometime, or did you just smooch, or what?
And then I said, I just kept walking past going, hey, do you want to, I was up to my old tricks, but at this time I was stealing drink for her instead of myself. I was like, what are you drinking? And I was just giving a free drink all night. So of course, bloody, she's a backpacker. Like, what's better than free drink from some stranger? And then she disappeared. Like, I had to mop up some more spew in the toilet. And then I came back out and she was gone. I was like, oh, but I got her name though. I remember Sandra. I was like, Sandra, brilliant. So in Australia, obviously, if you hear Sandra, you just go, well, Sandy, I'm not calling you your real name, because we'll get your name and just ruin it. So, and then the next night she came in and it was just, no, she's back. Brilliant. And I went up and I was like, ah, Sandra. And she was like, hey, you remember my name and all that. And then we danced. This is while I was supposed to be working, like just drank and were dancing, and they gave me a warning. And then the next night I was in there just drinking because I got like half price or whatever. And then and she came back in again. And that, so third night, then that's when we pashed.
Pashed, you know, what's that mean?
Pashed is, I guess that's our word for the shift.
Oh, I thought it was like banging, because pash sounds like...
Yeah, it does actually, but it's just a kiss. Pash. Did you pash her? Did you pash her? Did you get a pash? I think it's short for passionate embrace. No, passionate kiss, maybe. I'd like, probably not. Did you get a pash? And root is our all the way. Did you get a root? That's sex.
A ride.
Yeah, that's a ride. Root. Wow. You get a root? Did you root her?
That's weird. Your words are weird.
Yeah, it's filthy and dirty. Because it sounds like root is in the ground. It's dirty. So, and that was, our first kiss is, like, we got a, our friend goes, kiss, kiss. And I was like, brilliant. And she took a photo of it with an old click windy.
Oh my God.
I've got it actually. See it.
Oh, I love this. This is so romantic. Oh, I can't wait to fall in love. Can't wait to pash.
Our first kiss, our first pash.
Oh my God. You look about 12. How old are you there?
Yeah, I was 22, and Sandy was 20.
You guys were so young, and you've been together for how long? Have you been together
since then? So it's 2001, so like
20 years.
20 years this year. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing! This is like a proper like, and you're obviously monogamous and all that.
Yeah.
This is like this is so rare. This is great. Not that it's rare. I'm sure there's loads.
I don't even
of
say like yeah, but I think to cheat, it's just so much work. I'm just not that.
Well, I can't even.
Deleting things and looking at, no. But obviously if someone better came along, of course, but no one has come close to Sandra. So,
Well, I mean, because so usually we have a lot of guests where it's like talking about struggling to find love or to date long term. And, you know, a lot of the comedians are based here in New York or even in the city in Dublin. And there's been a few have been in long term healthy relationships. But this is like the longest, I think, that we've. Oh, maybe actually Mike Cannon. He had a long. But that's great. It's such a lovely story. I love it. I'm so happy for you guys.
Ah, thanks. Oh, yeah. I'm bloody delighted because. If I was single now with all the online stuff,
it's a nightmare.
No, minefield. Nah. I would. So I hope you don't mind me saying, but just judging from your latest tweets, there was a douchebag in your life just recently.
Oh, so which one? No, well, there was a lovely guy in my life just recently, actually, who's really nice. We only had a few dates. He doesn't want anything. Even more than casual. He's just very, he was, we were talking every day for like a month and stuff, but he's just out of a long-term serious relationship. So, and I'd like to date to eventually potentially end up in a relationship. I don't know if it's going to be the person I'm dating at the time, but I don't want to do like super casual, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a tricky situation, isn't it?
Yeah, so he's lovely and we stayed friends, but the other, I've had a couple of other kind of like, weird experiences, yes, for sure, definitely. Like I've spoken about it on the podcast a lot already, but I've definitely seem to attract either a bit mental or emotionally unavailable or like sad kind of. But I just, I think because there's, it's not that there's like a lot of bad men in New York or anything like that. I just think that it's a very multiple dating scene. There's so much choice. Just, you know, you could get on an app and there's like millions of people on it. So it's easier to maybe meet more kind of.
Netflix, click it. It's like when you're trying to pick a TV show. You know, you might watch 5 minutes of one show. I'm not sure. My 5 minutes of another. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There used to be one channel and then two channels and then three, and you're like, that's why our grandparents were together forever.
I know.
There's no app.
I can't wait. I honestly can't wait to be a wife. It sounds lovely. I want to it's hard actually. Maybe we've spoken about this on the podcast, but when to, I've had girls talk about it, and when to say to someone that you're not looking to date for fun, you're looking to date to meet someone. But like my dad was like, oh, I would never say that. I would just see what happens and how it turns out. But he doesn't realize that guys over here are dating like five women at once. So it's kind of what do you think as a man? Would you be freaked out if a girl said after a few dates, like, hey, I'm looking to date to meet someone, not really looking for casual? Or would you be like, that's great, I appreciate it. No, I don't want that. Or yes, I do want that.
Yeah, but is that all based around sex though? The ones that want to date more than one person? Because surely from the offset, you have a fair idea if you want to see this person long-term or not. Or you just like their bump.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. It's very... I had a guy like last year, I've spoken about it on the podcast, but we were seeing each other for 3 months. It was exclusive, but he was very anti-relationship. And he would see me like 4 or 5 times a week. He met my friends 3 times. He'd been to a show. But then he'd be like, ugh, people in relationships are gross. And I'm like, dude, that's what we are doing. So I ended up ending it because I was like, this is very confusing.
That's messing with... That messes with anyone's head.
Yeah.
You want to be with me all the time, but you hate relationships. But that's what this is, man. Even having a friend is a relationship.
Yeah. You know? But he was just, you know, he's just... Whatever, he was like a DJ, so you know.
Oh, DJs, forget it, man.
You know, he obviously thought he was gonna make it big one day and have like loads of vaginas, you know. So
he's waiting for that.
Yeah. So yeah, and then it's hard as a female comedian, like so the last guy that I went on a few dates with, he's fab, and he was, when I got off stage, he goes, "You're amazing." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." But it made me realize how much guys are usually like neggy with that stuff, and even since we've been friends, and sent me a message recently being like, oh, you know, it was so great, I got to see a show that time, like I was so impressed. And then I had this other guy who's been asking me out a lot, and he's like fine, and he's kind of been trying to bully me into a date a bit. But he came to a show, and when I got off, he was like, oh, you got the best reaction, you were so funny. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then later on, my friend had gone up after me, this guy Danish, who's amazing, and he did great as well. And then later on, he goes, oh, Danish made me cry. And then in front of my friends, he goes, you were funny, but you didn't make me cry. And I was like, what was the point in that? That doesn't make any sense. And then he started asking me about my podcast. And he goes, I just don't understand how you have so many listeners. And I was like, what is there to not understand? He goes, but did you just get all your friends to listen? And did they tell their friends? And I was like,
oh, thousands of friends.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like, no, it's because Des Bishop was famous, but because I was like kind of pissed off. But I was just like, no, it's just a good podcast and people like it. That's how. But he was just very demeaning of it. And then when I said that, I was like, that's so weird that you would like diminish what I do. And he was like, oh, you've been in America too long. You're oversensitized. And I was like, oh, because it's easier to call me sensitive than you're being a bit of a cunt.
Yeah.
He was like, but and I was like, I don't want to date this guy. But it's just like so frustrating, because it's like, okay, the first guy who's been very complimentary, he doesn't, you know, he's not looking for anything serious, but all the rest of them who want to date me are like kind of neggy with it. I'm like, why? Just be like, even if you don't think it's great, say it's great.
Yeah. Or even if people get frustrated, you know, when say someone, so any popular anybody is doing well, but they don't understand why all these people like it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that might be your case, but like they'll not like the artist and slag off the artist. You know, like Ed Sheeran. And you're going, just so people like him and he's a great musician. Just leave him alone. As soon as someone gets fine. So to take that as a compliment, because you wouldn't have to be negged if you weren't doing well.
Yeah, I know. And I just know I'm very like confident and I say what I want and stuff. And I'm definitely picking the wrong men, or the wrong men are choosing me because they don't actually like, they like me, but then they don't like that element. Or I guess maybe they would want to be the funny ones. I don't fucking know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's weird.
That yeah. Is,
like, I don't, yeah, I don't get that. Like I would love it if, Sandy was in the limelight or was richer than me, obviously, because I'm a comedian. You bring in the bacon. Or, you know, I don't say, if you like someone, like if you like them, then you want them to be, it's not a competition in yeah. any way, in any aspect of your
oh,
life.
Yeah, yeah. Because actually with this guy too, I was doing something where he could interact with it, but he started to comment on it, jokes about his, I was doing it with, I don't know if you know my friend Serena, she's a comedian as well, or an entertainer. I guess she doesn't really do comedy anymore, but she was based in Dublin for a while. And he was just like trying to write jokes on it. And he was like writing jokes about his ex-wife. And I was like, this guy is asking me out whilst also writing jokes about his ex-wife on my Insta Live. And I was like, this is very odd. Very, yeah. This is like, he was like, oh, my crazy ex-wife. And I'm like, this is too much. So but anyway, yeah.
Do you find with dating is this, now I'm only basing this on the reality dating shows that I've seen, but do you find that blokes that you've dated talk too much to try and impress you?
Yeah, I think as well, I watched this clip from the, I watch all these like relationship experts, these guys. I find it really interesting. But so what I found, and I've said this on the podcast, is that a lot of the first dates I go on is the guys will talk about like really serious, scary emotional problems, you know, or like really traumatic childhoods, or like an ex who cheated, or like some bad shit they went through. And I only until I met the British guy. And he's the first guy, we only had like 3 or 4 dates, but I laughed my head off each time. There was no talking about traumas. There was no issues. Life is good. It was just fun. He asked questions. He remembered stuff, you know, like, and I was like, oh,
a normal person.
This is the way it should be. I've just been going on. Every date has been like, but the relationship expert said that it's kind of like a way to force a connection. So a lot of maybe like narcissist men or like fuckboy men will like be like, oh, I'm like dark and mysterious, because then you're like, oh my god, let me help, oh my god, this is so interesting, and you feel sorry for them, so it forces a bit of a connection. But it was nice, like, you know, obviously it didn't work out with the British guy, but it was nice to be like, oh, this is the way it should be. And then as well, I'm, you know, working nights, so I'm probably anybody who as a woman who's working nights are probably meeting a different style of men anyway. It's kind of hard.
DJs say.
Yeah. So whereas this guy was like, he had like a 9-to-5 job. He's just living his life.
That's probably, it's the hours we keep. Definitely.
Because I was like, it's getting a bit embarrassing at this stage, because like, how many times can I say to my friends? But they also say to me is where I will, like, they'll go on a bunch of dates, like my Irish girlfriends, and they'll just, if they see a red flag, they'll be like, see you later. But I'm like, I just love, you know, affection and kissing and you know, getting to know someone and having good sex, that I probably ignore a lot of red flags and just keep going and see what happens. And then later I'm like, oh, actually that was like, I don't probably judge people enough. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You could be, oh, give them a chance, maybe this will be better, or maybe we'll fall, you know, some people are growers.
Yeah, because
I imagine I was.
Yeah, you know? Well, I'm also always very attracted to them for the most part, but I also, it's like when I do eventually end it, I'm like, yeah, they revealed themselves on the first date and I ignored it. You know, there was a guy once who said he had commitment issues and I was like, eh, we'll see. And then he did. Yeah, and you know, and I have dated some nice guys. It's just we haven't been compatible, but also some, like one guy who said he didn't believe in outer space, and I was like, Jesus Christ!
Hang on, what, the outer space you can see with your naked eye?
He said it's a conspiracy theory. He sent me like YouTube videos. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, then he must be correct if it's on YouTube. Yeah,
no, he called him a documentary. I was like, oh god! And then I laughed because I thought it was funny, and he was like, I was on the phone to him, and I was like, I can't believe I was laughing, and he was like, hey, I don't laugh at your beliefs. And I was like, yeah, because I believe in fucking space, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah, there it is. Look up. What do you think that is? Yeah, like, you know, when you know, the flat earthers, oh, I love these guys. You know, they go, yeah, man, the photos from the moon of the earth are all you know, they're all CG, the CG or whatever, they're photoshopped and all that. And you're going, yeah, but every picture of the flat earth is fake.
Yeah, it's like, also like, who cares? Why do you care?
Anyway, just like, what does that make a difference between you going to a shop and buying a bagel? Yeah. No, who gives a ball?
I mean, if tomorrow I found out aliens are real, I'd be like, whatever. Or yeah. If they were like,
I haven't met any nice ones yet. I haven't met any mean ones. It doesn't matter.
It's fine. Like, the fact that you're like,
in my house and like and like emptied the fridge, I'd be like, these aliens, there's got to be something done about them.
They're real cool.
It doesn't happen, man. Like, the only thing we need to worry about, if there's outer space or not, if the world is whatever shape, is if we're going to fall off it or not. I don't think we're going to fall. We haven't fallen off yet.
We're trying,
you know, Mr. Tesla.
So weird.
Elon's trying to get out of here instead of fix this planet, and he can't. He's fucking rich. So, like, it's all nuts. And people will just believe anything, I think. What would these people believe if there was no internet? They'd probably be writing this stuff down and making amazing novels, but instead of going down YouTube rabbit holes.
They just need a hobby.
Make up a story. Write it down.
Go play tennis. Like, this guy, the listeners know him as Boris, so they're probably like going to roll their eyes, because like, I remember when Dez was like, he was like literally on the podcast being like, she needs to stop dating this guy. But before I stopped dating him, we were in Jersey looking across at Manhattan, and he goes, look at all those sheep. And I was like, what? And he goes, just going to work 9 to 5, never questioning the world. And I was like, oh, I'm a sheep, so, because I don't give a fuck. Yeah. And then recently he joined Clubhouse. I had him blocked on everything because he was like he turned out to be very like mental afterwards, which was like not a surprise. He got very like angry that I ended it, and I blocked him on everything. But he joined Clubhouse, and I know this because you get a notification when any phone number, and I have his phone number blocked, but it's in my phone. And so Clubhouse is this new app. It's like an audio based app, right? So I clicked onto it because I wanted to go block him, because I don't want him, like, even though it's been years, it's been like 2 fucking years, but I'm still like, ugh, I don't even want him to remember I exist. But his picture on it was his face, but his eyes were gold stars, like burned star. Like, how do I explain it? Like, it was like as if they were glowing gold. It was so fucking creepy. I was like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. But I blocked him anyway, so it's all good.
Good on you. See you later, Boris. Go join your Clubhouse.
yeah. He's probably starting some conspiracy clubs in there. Ugh.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a terrible. I mean, if it's a good app and a lot of people have done well off it, but I just can't deal with another social media. I don't want to have to figure it out. I was drunk last night. I went on it. I don't know what I said, and I'm like embarrassed. So I'm like,
Have you been on dates recently with people you met in person without the old app?
No. Everybody has been on the app. So even that person who kind of nagged me a little with my comedy, that weird comment.
A little sad, like it was a prick.
Right, yeah. He also did another thing which was really weird, but I told him I wouldn't talk about it on the podcast. I will in a few months when there's a good distance between it.
Tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, I'll give him enough space from it, but And I don't think he's like, I just think he's he found me through Clubhouse. So he messaged me from that via my Instagram. But every other guy has been on one, actually from Instagram too as well. Actually, there's been a few from social media who've messaged me, and I've been like, yeah, we'll see. I've done a phone call, or I've went out with them. And then the last guys that I've really liked, the DJ actually was from Hinge, which is like, I don't know if you guys have Hinge there, but it's like a dating app. And then the British guy was from Hinge, and then a guy before that who I dated for 5 months who's lovely was from Hinge as well. So
you know what Hinge was, and I said I always find out stuff. This is why I'm getting dumber by the day, because everything I found out was me talking to the audience while I was on stage.
Yeah.
So I'd go, where'd you two meet? Blah, blah, blah. And they'll go, Hinge. I'd go, what the hell is that? Are you a carpenter? Like, no, it's an app. I go, what do you mean? It's a dating app. And I went, what does that mean? You swing both ways or something weird? And they were like, no, it's just another. So I don't even know what it looks like. So does that mean you're on Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, Clubhouse?
No, Grindr? So, well, Clubhouse is more like a audio Instagram. So it's just another social media. But
you hear people and then pick them.
No, it's not for dating at all. It's for it's for like podcasty. It's I can't even explain it. It's new. It'll come to Ireland soon, and you guys will all have your head melted because it's another fucking thing to figure out.
No, thank you.
Yeah, so it's just like a new TikTok-y thing, but just audio based. But no, the dating apps. I'm only on Hinge because it says it's like a relationship.
Cool.
Yeah, so I like would like. But yeah. I met DJ off that and he's like, I hate relationships. I'm like, what the fuck are you on Hinge? I met the British guy and he was like, I don't, you know, I'm like, you know, very, very cash. And I'm like, the fuck are you on this app for? Get off this app. Get on Tinder.
Yeah, good on that British dude. Like, I asked her out the question thing because from when I was watching dating shows, it's always the guy was talking a lot. And I was like, just don't you want to find out about, you know, you want to find out as much as you can about this person. Like, surely that's... Are you interested? And then if they ask you something, then obviously they're interested. Then you can, why talk unless they've asked you? Because then you're just wasting your breath. Why waste your, I'm lazy, man. I don't want to talk if no one wants to listen. So ask them a question. Like, here's a good example, right? I was a wingman recently, this was a couple of years ago, but recently when you could go out. And so I was just talking to her friend while they had organized, I think it was from Tinder. They were meeting. And I was just out drinking because the gig had finished. So I was just there. And he's like, oh, can you just talk to, you know, I want to get to know this girl. I was like, sweet. And I just said, oh, yeah, where you're from? You know, classic. And then I knew something about where she was from a little bit. So I was asking about that. And then I asked her something else, da, da, da. And she was talking loads. And we were having a laugh. And then she goes, you're good chat to me. You're good chat. And I was like, I haven't said anything. I've just asked questions. I was like, this is, I reckon I would kill it in the dating scene because I just interview, but just because then we were having a laugh at what she was saying, which is what I wanted. I didn't want to have to do anything. So since then I'm watching these first dates and all that, just going, ask them a question, man. Just then you don't have to, then you can eat your food sitting there.
I can't wait to be a wife. I'm so fed up of it. I'm so sick. Even I have a date organized now in this weekend and I'm like, oh, I probably cancel it, to be honest. I don't think I can go out and deal with another. Well, I told him we have to do a phone call first. That's my new trick because I did a phone call with the British lad and he was the crack. And I don't regret the all the time he spent.
Talk first and get a connection, then meet.
Yeah. Because I'm
that's
just
a great
like,
idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually, Dez said this to me 2 years ago and I was like, no, fuck that. But then with the pandemic and I did a phone call. Yeah, the British guy did a phone call with him and we were literally having the crack on the phone. We chatted for an hour and then we voice messaged for 5 hours after that. So I was like, ah, here, we'll be grand. We'll have good crack even if we don't have like a sexual chemistry.
Yeah. We could just be buddies. Like we could be siblings.
That's what we are now. We're like best mates now. It's so annoying because I actually am attracted to him. But you know, that's the way it is. It's like, you can't, if someone's not in the right place, that's fine.
Yeah. But it's weird. I think, tell me if you think you agree with this or not, especially going into relationship or just people have their mindset already. And like the guys that you've mentioned already is proof. Like the guys, I'm not into relationships or I'm not into commitment or, you know, people just make their rule. They've made that out of nowhere. They might've had one or two things that happened to them and they're like, right, that's me.
Done. But just
like, you know, when this happens all the time, you watch Love Island or this always, what's your type? Yeah. What's your type? Just like, I don't know yet. I haven't met them.
I know. I said that.
What is type? Or you're easygoing or yeah, what if you meet someone who's not easygoing, but you really get on?
Yeah.
Stop making rules for yourself.
I agree with you so much because even like with the British lad, he said to me on our first date, he was like, what's your type? And I was like, I don't know. I've dated anybody from anywhere. Like my dad actually said to me one day, he was like, what are you going to date next? Fucking someone from Alaska. Like he was like, you've literally dated every country. I've like no type. I just think it's like, for me, it's personality. And then it always changes. I'm like, oh, I like this. I like this. I kind of just like everything. Is that weird? I feel like I'm pretty basic.
I think you bang on because this was one of the best things someone said about me ever. And it was probably about 25 years ago, but it was when I started sort of dating. So as I said, I met Sandra when I was 22. So I had like 5 years of just abysmal fucking trying to meet someone. But, and I was never a relationship. Obviously I never labeled anything and I wasn't looking for a relationship. I wasn't looking for anything. But obviously when I met Sandy, I was like, yes, now I want a relationship because I found this person. But before that, I was just in. You just want to meet people, whatever. But my gay mate said to me, he goes, you don't have a type, do you? Because everyone that I'd sort of would have had fancied were completely different. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess. But it's that's why I was sort of bringing up the app thing, because back 20 odd years ago, it was you met everyone in person, so you get a connection in the eyes or the smile. You just get something that I want to know a bit more about this person. So at least over the phone, you can get a bit of something. You can get something. But
no, I agree
photo,
with you.
It's really hard to tell,
So hard. Because even I found with the British guy, the reason why I swiped on him is because he said looking for someone with family values. So I was like, oh, he's probably looking for a relationship. But he's actually much
or
better
looking. Banging your sisters as well.
I hope not. They're all very young. That would be against the law.
But that's family. That's a good thing to have on a profile, family values.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, he'd probably be looking to like meet someone. No, I couldn't have been more wrong, but that's fine. But he's just saying that and he's just not into me, which is fine too. But he was much better looking in real life. And I was like much more attracted to him in real life than his photo and his like... It's also like things like height too. Like I've met guys who are like 5'8" who are, in real life I've been attracted to. But if I see that on there, I automatically go, geez, that's very short. But why do I do? I have to go to myself, Katie, don't be heightist, and still swipe on them. But I think
that's
about
that's
it.
That's one of the biggest things that men get. It's probably the only thing really is the height thing, isn't it?
They get the height and we get more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You like women get judged on everything and men just get the height. So like, but yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like,
what's your advice though? Do you think, because we've had like two episodes where this conversation has come up, so I definitely don't want to talk about it too much, but it'd be interesting to get a man's perspective of for women who, okay, women in Dublin or New York or in their 30s and kind of looking to date someone. Is that okay to say that on their first date, to be like, I'm not really dating for fun, but I'm hoping to meet someone. Don't know if it's going to be you, but like, just so you know, like that they're looking for a relationship. But I just think that's...
I think you should definitely say that.
That's so good to hear. Okay,
because,
good.
Because if they're just looking to ride around and leave, you're wasting the time. Probably going to hurt you. Unless you have a great night and you want a one night stand, and then that's everything. But otherwise, if you just everyone just wants transparency and honesty. Like everyone just wants honesty, isn't it?
Yeah, and I will say, like, so with me and the British guy, the topic came up kind of because we were texting every day for a month, then we'd had three dates. Oh, but it feels like four, I think, because we had such a long phone call one of the days. But we would text every day, and then it was coming to the weekend, and I was like, oh, are we hanging out this weekend? And he was like, oh, look, I'm a last minute type of guy. I'll text you day off. And I was like, well, I have to plan my weekend. So if we're, if I'm dating someone, like I want to see them at least once a week, and I want a bit of notice, because we'd done very like go with the flow before. And then he was like, oh, we need to talk about what our vibe is. And I was like, okay, let's have a chat about it. And he was like, what are you kind of like looking for? And then I was like, oh, I'm like looking to date somebody. And if I don't, I want to get in a relationship at some stage, like that'll take a while. But if I don't date them at least once a week, I won't know if they're compatible. And then he was like, oh yeah, I'm like so far away from relationship. And he was like, I don't like multiple dating. I've only been talking to you, because I feel like that's more UK Irish vibe anyway. But he was basically just like, God, yeah, I got out of a serious relationship from back home, and I want to just like have my alone time right now. I'm really not ready for anything. I'm not even ready to commit to one date a week. And he was very nice, Betty. He was like, I'm really glad we're having this chat though. Don't feel like you've pressured me or anything. I'm a mature person, but it's made me realize that I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to like go too far and then not be ready and stuff. So it was like, I think it was good, because we could have been kind of fucking sleeping together for another 2 months, and I would have been like, oh, wish I had brought it up.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking one direction and they're thinking the other direction, and then
they're like, oh, this is so much fun.
Yeah, but if you know that from if every relationship, if you know what the other person is, where their mind is at that time, then you know. But what I also think is maybe people think about that too much. Because if you really like this person, no matter what, you're going to change. you know, if they say I'm into a relationship, I'm not into a relationship, you just, if you're really liking me, like, I'm sticking around to find out, you know?
Yeah, that's why I think
if it's really easy to say goodbye to someone, say goodbye to them.
Yeah, it's like, so hard.
Because heartbreak is so painful.
Yeah, and it's hard.
It's so painful. It's physically pain. You know, you're bent over when your heart is broken, you're bent over. Like when, that's when I knew when Sandy was like, I'm leaving, I'm gone. Like it's crippling for until you see them again. And so unless you have that, you're bloody wasting your time.
No, that's good. So like, yeah, so that's good to hear from a man's perspective that it's not terrifying to hear that conversation.
But also, I don't know if I'm like clingy or sad. Like this is sad. This probably says, this is before like, this will give you an idea of my dating sort of, okay. When I was 16 or 17, there was a girl in, like, I think it was my last year of high school, secondary school. And Tamara, really, this girl Tamara, she like, brown hair, brown eyes, big brown hair. Like, you know how your hair is all heaps long. It was like that big, like, big brown hair. And it was like the 90s. So there was, it was like frizz was cool, I guess. But so anyway, it was like, it was time and place back in the day before phones in your pocket. Time and place, right? I'll meet you at this cinema in Fremantle. At this time, we'll see this movie. Brilliant. So I show up at the spot. I'm at the right time, right place. Bang. You know, there was an unwritten 30-minute rule. You wait around for 30 minutes. And there's no, you can't scroll on your phone. It's just you and the world. Just like looking around, you know, waiting. Oh, like, you know, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to, I'm going to get, I'll get the popcorn. I'll get the, you know, I'll get, you know. 30 minutes, everyone's going into the movie. I'm like, she'll be here any minute. 60 minutes, the movie started. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going in and see the movie by myself. She could be here late going, you know, this is buses. You know, we didn't drive. We didn't have cars. An hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm still sitting there. I'm still there just going, oh, she could, like, something might have happened. Like, what if there was a thing? You just don't know. 2 hours, right? People start coming out of cinema. I'm still there.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, so oh, sad. I guess that's it. Like, I guess not. So I stood up and that was that. And then on Monday, she was real quiet. She was the opposite of me. She was real quiet. She was always in the library. And I was fucking all over the place. I was like always running around being a bloody maniac. But not a cool maniac, like an idiot. Jumping off balconies. You know, the kid that just wanted attention didn't figure out why. But anyway... So I really liked her because she was real quiet and that. But too quiet. And then I was like, I went to the library. She was there on Monday. And I was like, are you all right? What happened? She was like, oh, my cousins came around and I couldn't ring you. You know, like I was going to ring the cinema, but, you know, she didn't. And
she didn't.
She was going to ring the cinema. Like this is, the, you know, and like, is there a dude outside in a Sonic the Hedgehog baseball cap? But, like, I've thought of that recently, right? And I was thinking, that's really sad, right? But that's probably the most romantic thing that anyone's ever done. She's probably married now, really happily, met the love of her life and kids. But even her husband wouldn't have waited, stood there with no phone, no nothing for 2 hours waiting for this person.
That just doesn't happen.
So it's sort of sad and romantic at the same time. She didn't give a shit about me. But just say... That's something like in a movie. That's like, you know, the script wrote that song from Ireland, like the man that can't be moved, standing on a corner, some dude just waiting. And everyone's like romantic going on. And I heard that song going, that was fucking me for a fucking a day in Fremantle. And I was just a sad loser. But this guy sings it and he's a bloody romantic bastard. But I was very mature. Like my idea, like, because girls, you know, I found girls that were like teenagers, early 20s at the time, didn't want someone their age. Or at least didn't want someone who acted their age, like, and I was like Tom Hanks out of Big. Like I was 6'1" and gangly and that, but I was still like 12. My dates would be, I'd take them to movie. I love movie. I still do. Movies, arcade, McDonald's maybe. Maybe not McDonald's now, but it depends how drunk we were. But and like that, so women didn't want that. They wanted a dude with a car. Like, you know, like a Datsun that was orange with a green door, fucking, you know, all that sort of shit. So I had like no one. I was just always, I got stood up so many times. People were like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then I was just there just going, what is wrong? I don't even have a mobile phone. I don't even know where they are. They don't even exist.
Yeah, so it shows that you definitely were like looking for a relationship. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, like I wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna like have sex with this girl at the back of the cinema. Yeah.
So you were delighted then when you met Sandra.
Oh yeah, man, totally. But you only know that looking back.
Yes.
Like, I did want to meet some, like what you said. I wouldn't have been smart enough to say that then, but I would have been. Like, if I ended up with, say, one of the girls that I was dating, that would have been what I wanted to have done at that time. Like, I don't want to buy someone popcorn if I'm not going to spend the rest of my life with them. Why would I waste my money on that?
Right. That's what I always think as well. If a guy doesn't spend his money on me, and I'm like, oh, he's not invested. Because I just know me. If I'm spending my money on something, it's because I really like it. So if they don't spend their money on me, I'm like, oh, no, they don't fancy me. But can I ask you just as well, because I put out the question about kids, and you two, you have kids. How many kids do you have?
No, we've only got one kid and he's four. He just turned four.
So you had nearly 16 years together before you had a kid.
Oh, mate. We had just had the crack.
Oh, I love that.
For so long. Like, we still do, but, you know, we have to get a babysitter and whatever. But it was really good. But, like, thinking of it now, like, if we had a kid when we first met, we would have an adult child and we'd be done.
Yeah.
But we did it the other way around.
I like that. I like that you did that.
Your bodies can handle complete drink constantly. You know, when you're in your 20s and drinking's your thing, alcohol does not leave your system for fucking maybe your 20s and 30s, man. Like, there was no way. Like, people go 20 years is a long time to be together. Yeah, but we were calculating the other day. We've probably only been sober together maybe 5.5 years collectively. So it's still quite a new relationship. We're still getting to know each other. We're still trying to piece together the 20s. Like, do you remember where that happened? We find photos and we're like, where the fuck is that? Where were we? What were we doing?
So, oh my God, I love this. You're like best mates. This is, you know what? I love that so much. I want to be with someone who's like my best mate. Like when I said to the British guy when we ended everything, blah, blah. And I was like, I just want to ask you now, is there anything that I'm doing that's kind of putting off not wanting a relationship vibe? I started thinking maybe my breath smells, you know. And he was like, you just seem like such a mate. You're so easy to just hang with and comfortable and be friends with, and like it was easy from the second, like it's just mad mate vibes. And I'm like, isn't that what someone would want though? Isn't that what you want out of your partner? Yeah. To be like their mate?
Yeah, of course. I married my best friend, you know. You want to hear that? So I guess it's just.
So it's like, oh, you just didn't like my face. Thanks.
Yeah. So tell me it's bad. Just for me, tell me it's bad breath. Just tell me it's bad.
Like, no, so
good, on you for, good on you for asking. So have you done, because I did this when I was like the 5 years I was sort of on the dating scene. But would you do what other, like these guys are doing the first date? Would you go, okay, just three things you have to know, my three weak points are, I might be this. I don't
know,
you know, any of that.
No.
Yeah. You let them find out.
Yeah. No. I'm fucking like, you know, I'm like perfect for the first few months. I'm not like, yeah, I think it should be. It should be just fun and crack. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm trying to think.
No, but not serious. Like mine were, for instance, I was like, just so you know, if the Simpsons are on, I probably won't.
Oh, I thought you meant like.
Emotional.
Yeah, no, I didn't know what that was. So I was like, no.
Like in the mornings, don't talk. Like, you know, you won't get it. Before 12, it's not really registering what's going on.
Yeah.
When the Simpsons are on, I'll just be listening to that or watching it. You know, they're just stuff like just heads ups.
Yeah, no. Mine is more just my comedy. I try to make sure that any guy who's dating me gets to see maybe my Instagram or a show with like my sex jokes so that they're comfortable with it.
And you did glance over and like, look, what did he like, my anal joke? Is that,
well, yeah, because, well, and my stuff isn't like, I don't think it would ever be considered filthy, but I do have jokes about past partners that have all asked for, like I have a joke about ending it with a DJ and he knows about it and I ask for permission. And I always ask for permission when I'm dating someone to tweet about them.
Yeah.
But so with like what I'll do is like, even when the British guy was coming to a show, I was like, oh, I'm gonna do like my not clean set. Like, I have a clean set, but I'm going to do my not clean set. You might as well see it now. But he was grand. But like, he says he was grand with it. But I'm always worried when my content scare off a potential partner because, you know, I talk about sex education a lot. I do videos about sex education. I talk about, I make jokes in my, you know, tweets that are, you know, that are not very like typical ladylike. You know, I have that joke about, you know, what did I say that, the only lie I tell men is when they're like, oh, you get so wet for me. I'm like, yeah, it's you. But like, you know, so like they're going to see that. And I'm in my, but that's just Irish shame and guilt. I think, I don't know. I hope it won't scare off a future partner. They'll be okay with what I do. But
no, if they like you, they won't care.
Yeah.
They'll know you're being genuine in the moment when you're there. You
yeah. Know? Cause even with the British guy, I called him to ask him, could I talk about him on my Patreon? Cause I do like really personal podcast episodes on it, and he was like, yeah, he was like, just once you only call me the British guy and you don't, you know, you don't say my job or where I live or there's no, he was like, you can talk about what you want. So I always ask for permission, and he was like, let me listen, will ya? And I was like, no. I was like, no, you don't need to,
unless you join my top tier Patreon, then no.
Yeah, no, I'm not, I don't want you, you've lived it, you don't need to rehear how our, you know, what we did.
You were there. You don't need to watch the documentary or listen to it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, so you waited a long time to have kids. I think that's great advice for people because that's me. I would like to have a kid. If I don't, it's fine. I think I have like a pretty good life. But if I meet a partner and they want one, yeah, fuck it. I'll do it once they know that I'm still going to do comedy at night and we've had like a bunch of time together, you know. That's why I'd love to meet someone now, because I'm like, fuck, I want to have a kid like at 38 or 39. That's only 8-9 years. I want to travel with my partner. I want to like have the crack.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh
yeah, because it's not, it's like having a kid obviously is brilliant, but it's not the crack, it's different fun, you know. But
you don't regret it, right?
no, not like, no, it's the best thing. The best thing going. But obviously, if we had him too soon, we'd be like, you know, and didn't know each other, you'd be finding out, because who you are as a parent is not who you are as a non-parent. So you'd say if you just had a kid with someone, you'd be finding out not the real them, is the new person becoming a parent them.
And did you find it affected your relationship?
No, we were like, there's respect now, and we're more of a, like, there's a team aspect to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if you've seen Monsters Inc., like Monsters University, you know, where Sully and Mike Wazowski, anyway, like they're trying to study, and at first they're just, you know, they can't do it. And then by the end of it, he's like throwing the book over his head and he's catching it, and they're in sync. So now it's like doing anything. Now we're like, okay, you dishes, you this, get him dressed, da 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 da. And then we're just more exhausted all the time. So you just have to, but the problem with, because having the crack, I don't know, like no other word sums up the crack. It's fun. It's drinking. It's throwing caution to the wind. It's like that is top priority, is just having fun and music. And it, like that sort of stops because you can't just disappear. You can't just end up at some random dude's house at 4 a.m. because you're going, oh, we got a kid, buddy. And, you know, so that for the next 10 years or so, that'll just be, it'll be controlled crack and drink, you know.
Controlled crack. I love that. Okay.
Yeah, because like yesterday we had, you know, good few drinks. We started drinking at like lunchtime or whatever. And being drunk with your kids is brilliant, but you just can't be that. You can be fun, but you can't be too fun. You know what I mean? You don't want to scar. You don't know you've scarred them until it's too late, until 20 or 30 years later when you're dishing out money for a therapist. So you just have to sort of weigh it up, be like, what when the kid sees two staggering slurring parents, like how far can we go without being without getting registered in some sort of social services situation. So it's great, but you find other fun, like, you know, nature and going out, like there's more of a balance, to be honest. We needed it. Like, this kid has saved our lives, you know.
Oh,
we're not young anymore. So now it's like we do everything in moderation, which I think balance, isn't it, Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid? Balance is the secret of life. And we've got that now. So we have the times where you just go nuts, drink and do everything, and then there's other times where school day and then doing up the house and then going to nature and then reading and then a movie and then like just balance, you know, good food, bad food, mostly good, you know. But then we have to eat better. We can't just survive on kebabs and frozen pizza anymore because this kid has to, he has to grow. So it's all this, so like everything that you've ignored forever, yeah. It's just a grown up. We're finally sort of becoming grown ups.
And this is a really personal question, so you don't have to ask it. But did it affect your sex life after having a kid?
Oh yeah, but it's the sex is better, but just spaced out.
Oh, okay.
You know, they say like before it would have been, I don't know, more drunken, and you wouldn't remember much. But now it's we'll be like, we've got this day off. He's away. We're having a day of it.
Great.
Instead of just sex here, sex this, you know. So you try and have the same amount, but instead of like peppered through the year, just like piles of pepper.
This is great though. You're like, you're both obviously good communicators, and you're like, okay, you both want to work, make things happen instead of like just kind of, we had a sex therapist on, but her books talked about like the sex lives of parents and how sometimes they can just forget to have sex because they're so tired being parents, and that there's no spontaneous sex anymore and that they really miss that. But she was like, you just have to schedule it in. You just have to do that.
Yeah. Like, the want for it doesn't go away. Like, it increases it more. I mean, we can have the spontaneous like bits and pieces, but you can't have the full bloody.
And she was, your wife wasn't traumatized after? I'm afraid if I have a baby and it like bursts out of my vagina, I'm gonna be like traumatized.
Like, I was like front row, and you know, you can't forget that image. And it's just like, this is a tiny tangent, but like, you know how it's like men are fucking idiots and don't even like, they just thought that it's only been until like our lifetime, as far as I know, that the husbands and the fathers were allowed to go in.
Yeah, it is.
And before they were out smoking, like our parents, maybe the grandparents, not smoking cigars or whatever out. They weren't. So how can they know what happened? Like, that's where we've all come from. Like, how can you not miss that? And then if every man saw that, they'd respect that person till the day they die. You know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of just like, oh, they go into this room that they're made to have kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, and you're made to fucking jizz once, you fucking maniac. Like, that's nothing. It's enjoyment for you. It's not enjoyment at all.
I'm terrified. Becoming
a human Pez dispenser is not.
Human Pez. Yeah, that's it. I'm like so scared. I even hate when my stomach is a little full and I feel bloated. I'm like, oh my God. But that's once, like, for me, I know if I had someone like you're obviously a supportive husband, it would just make it so much easier. And just someone who understands, like, I know half of the world does it and has babies and forgets and does it again. But I'm just like, it just scares me.
Oh, you should be. It's fucking horrendous. But I mean, it depends.
No wonder my mother hates me.
Yeah. I don't know. Some women are like, just love having kids and are really good at it. I've talked to a man. I'm friends with a man. Like I'll be in the playground with my one kid struggling, man, like tired. I'm like wrecked. And they've got five and she's pregnant.
Yeah, like, my stepmom has four and she just kept popping them out. I remember when, I don't know if it was my sister, we were sitting on the couch and she was pregnant with my sister and she goes, oh, I'm gonna have the baby now. And I'm like, what the fuck do you want me to do about that? Like, it's like, because my dad was,
yeah, in any way, yeah.
She's freeze, just so like comfortable. Like,
batch cook and freeze it before the baby. Like, how can I help with that? You know? And have you dreamt of being pregnant or having a baby?
No.
Ever?
No, I don't even have like a huge want in me, but I think it's because I think I will when I meet the right person, but I haven't had a proper serious relationship in like 7 years. So I think maybe if I met the right person, then maybe I'll think about it more, but it's like, it's like thinking about buying a house when you have no money. Like right now, I just think about paying rent. So
do you think that if you had it, you were in a relationship, this podcast probably wouldn't exist, or it'd be something else?
Because it's already something different.
Because have you found that like people that like on the dating scene and that like can talk about that, but no one wants to hear someone just banging on about them and their partner that they've been together forever. You know what I mean? It's gross.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say there'd be more interviews with like sex experts and stuff, but like, yeah, it'd be something different for sure.
Because this is what I found, especially like this is total stereotypes, and there's every rule is broken. But especially with guys and girls dating, right? If the L bomb is dropped, like if a woman tells her friends, he told me he loved me, and I told him he loved me back. Oh my god! And then they like want to know everything. They go, oh, tell me, how did he say it? What did he do? And then, is there any plans for engagement? Or, you know, questions. Oh, what happened? If a guy comes in his mates and goes, I told her I loved her and she loves me back. The guys are just like, well, we can't talk about her anymore. It's the opposite. Completely.
They're like, we can't talk about her. What does that even mean?
Well, you know, it's just like, well, you know, we're not going to talk about you having sex or...
Oh, because now she's like a respected partner. Yes, I understand. Yeah, it's not like,
and you can't
call her
alleyway girl anymore, by the way. You know,
you can't what?
Kelly. You can't call her alleyway girl anymore. Her name is Kelly. You know?
That is so funny. That's mad.
Do you think that's it's a general statement, but do you think there might be some truth in that? Like, men
are yeah. Because in general, women just talk about wanting feelings more. Yeah.
Real things.
yeah. We definitely know how to talk about our feelings more, and men are like, I can't.
Sometimes that's better. I mean, maybe it's because of the comedian side of us, but like, that's good for material. Like, relationships and people, and that's good for material. Have you heard what guys talk about, man? Like, especially like dads stand around talking about the best way to drive to work, take this intersection and then this way, and you go, I don't want to talk about that, man. No. I don't want to talk about that.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Talk about people and how they've messed up and how they've done well and how, you know, what they want and what they got and, you know.
Yeah, people are so interesting.
Yeah. So are facts, but only, if, you know, for a quiz and then, you know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, and even when I say about like guys talking about their emotional problems, like it's totally fine to be like, oh, like this happened or even this happened with my ex. But it's more when they're like, yeah, and I had like suicidal thoughts, and you're like, fuck, I'm not qualified to give you advice right now. And I don't even know your last name.
And on a first date, would they say? Oh, so
I've had guys, I had one guy on a first date. This is years ago now. This is fucking, I just come over to, Jesus, I've had some bad first dates. I think I have a dating addiction though. I'm nonstop. So, but you know, I just want to find love, and it's fucking impossible. It's impossible. I don't know why I can't, but anyway, I had one date with a guy and years ago, and he told me about how he had a serious illness. I won't say what the illness is, but like a life-threatening illness. He was talking about that, and it was like really sad. But then he talked about how a family member had killed themselves. And then he talked about his own dark thoughts and how his ex-girlfriend had cheated on him. And this is all over maybe 2 pints. And I was like, fuck my fucking life. What is going on?
I'm not a therapist. I thought you wanted to get to know me and like me and stuff. Good Lord.
Yeah, and I had another date where a guy, I don't know if I spoke about this on the podcast, I definitely did on the Patreon, but like, he's really handsome. He left his number on a receipt at my old job, and sure, we go out for a date after a show, but he just fucking started talking about how like Jesus is real, and he just wants Jesus, and he just wants to go to heaven one day, and sex is immoral, it should only be done for reproduction, like, and this is all again over 1 pint. I couldn't believe my ears. I was like in a pew in one of these shitty Brooklyn chairs, like the briars are all made, like it's all like pews and like random chairs. So I was kind of trapped between that and the table, and because the pew had like, I couldn't slide out, and I was just like, what is going on? It was so crazy. But I think maybe he was having a mental breakdown, and maybe I was just the first person he had talked to since he had moved. He'd moved from like a southern state.
Right. And then he's like, I'm going to date. And I just, dating's cheaper than getting a therapist.
No, it is. It is. That's what Mairead said on the last thing. She was like, I think it's just because I'm free. But like, I had another date where the guy, recently enough, this is like maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I can't remember, it was before the DJ, but I went out on a date with a guy who was
pre-DJ.
Pre-DJ, right? Yeah. But he was like following one of my friends, and the friend was following back, and I never thought of asking, but I thought, oh, he must be like, and it was from Hinge. We did a FaceTime and everything. Now, after 45 minutes, I left the coffee date because he started talking about all the pussy he got when he was in Florida. Why would ever think that's an appropriate conversation to have? And then...
see you later. It's a good warning. So that's one of those red flags your mates tell you about.
Yeah, so that was good. I got rid of him. He even messaged...
You should have seen all that. I was in Florida. I got all this puss. Beep, gone.
Yeah, I said it to him. I go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave. And he was like, why? And I was like, oh, look, I don't want to hear about all the pussy he had. I don't know why you would think that's an appropriate first date. And I keep my voice always.
Flip it. Oh, man. I went to California and.
So much dick.
Oh, I had balls everywhere. Bloody yeah, man. Let's do a count. How much pussy do you think you got? Oh, I got way more dick than that. Come on, mate. Up your game. See you later.
I am so depressed of dating. And the worst is, like, I have no expectations. I'm very, like, go with the flow and stuff. But I'm not even getting to a point with these men where I could be like, oh, this is what I expect, if that makes sense. Because it's just like, what is going on? I said, because I was asking my dad for advice, and I was like, I want to meet someone. I want a relationship. And he was like, don't tell anybody that. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I'll scare any nice man off. Men are very like, just go with the flow, Katie. And I go,
we're timid fucking woodland creatures.
That's different. He's talking about in fucking the middle of back arse nowhere in Ireland, where if I start going out with your man down the road, everybody's going to know he's not going to be going off with 17 other girls, and yeah, it'll just naturally turn into a relationship. You won't even have to say that. You won't have to call. You'll just be each other's girlfriend, boyfriend, or you won't. But it's like, so he's taking it from a different perspective. But I said it to him. I was like, Dad, I did 5 months with an architect. And then he turned around and was like, I ended it, right? Because he had said before he went out, I need us to be exclusive because of COVID. And I was like, yeah, grand. And we dated for 5 months. And then at the end, I ended it. And he goes, I'm glad you ended it because I wasn't ready for you to be my girlfriend anyway. And I was like, I wasn't your girlfriend. What?
I said yes to that.
And he's a nice lad. And then the DJ, 3 months, like I said, met the friends, all of that, still wasn't his girlfriend. So I said that to my dad, and he goes, but you're dating Americans. That's your problem. And I'm like, I don't fucking...
I'm in America.
Yeah, what do you want me to do? He goes, you need a good Irish farmer. And I was like, well, that's very fucking helpful. What with me being in New York City? Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
I just looked out for a herd of sheep or, you know, some cattle wandering about, and a guy going, come on, Shabob. Come on, Shabob. Come on, Shabob.
And if I do get an Irish guy, it has to be one that doesn't have any shame or guilt around women talking about sex education and sex stuff.
Well, good luck.
I know, I'm fucked, Damien. So fucked.
Oh, man. And then, so, and a first date, like, is it a no-no to talk about exes?
I think for me it's fine once it's not, like they're clearly still into them. And this is something, a point I wanted to make back when you were saying, like, people get stuff in their head, like, I'm not committed, I'm not a relationship person because they had one bad experience. So, like, with the DJ, he kept being like, well, if we get into a relationship, you'll be like my ex. And I'm like, I'm not her. And I think that's a thing too, that sometimes people can, like, not get rid of whatever happened with their ex partners, and then so they do end up talking about it, and you're like, it can be a little uncomfortable, especially if you can see that they're still into them. That's when I think, but if it's like a funny story, like, oh, I dated this guy in Ireland and, you know, he did this, then I think it's fine.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I wouldn't like it. It's almost like, for me it's like, you know, when you do a comedy club or something and they go before you've been on, right? So it's just, you've just arrived, they're like, oh, this comedian was here last week and was amazing. Blew the roof. Standing ovation, 2 encores, and another stand ovation. And then, like, anyway, have fun. You go, nah. Like, how now I've got that in my head. How can I, like, unless I get 2 standing ovations and encore, like, I'm not going to be happy with that. So if they're, you're right. If it's a funny story, yes. If they're talking about how they're still hung up about someone or they're still, then I would be, nah, man, that's horrible. Like, how was this? My first girlfriend, Rebecca, was, she was still best mates with her ex.
That's weird.
She went out for a year beforehand, and he had one of those mustaches that was like the Ronnie, the real hot, you know, like, and she'd see him all the time. And I was so jealous in that. And
I don't blame you.
I've never been a jealous person because trust is a thing, but I just didn't like, I was like, why are you always seeing this guy?
I wouldn't like that either. No, it'd make me very uncomfortable. And then I'd have to pretend that I'm okay with it, which would cause me a lot of stress. I'd be like, I'm fine. And then I'd probably be having like an aneurysm, you know. Yeah. So.
She got, like, there was this dude that she went to college with, and he was like way tall. He looked like the dude from Nickelback. The big, long hair, wavy, and the beard and that. And like they were always hanging out. And of course they ended up bloody, he tried it on with her. And I was like, what do you expect? You're bloody hanging out with him.
I know.
He's like, yeah, I've told him I've got a boyfriend. I'm like, what does that even mean? No one gives a bollocks.
No, especially men.
What are you, 19?
Nobody gives a shit, actually. Yeah, nobody gives a shit. It's not their responsibility. It's your responsibility. The person in the relationship.
Yeah, not like that at all, man.
And so how do you...
That's when it's, when it's part of your life. When it's affecting you now, then like, deal with your stuff. My word recently is processing. Everyone's got to process everything, you know. Whether if you drop your pen, you can process that pretty quick. Oh, I dropped my pen. You know, if you go through a breakup, you'll be processing that for a long time.
Yeah.
And the younger you are, the longer it takes to process.
Yeah.
I think. And like the older you are, the less time because you know you're running out of time. You don't give a bollocks. You've lived stuff. You know, there's bigger things in life. Your first breakup is just like the world's going to end.
Yeah.
But if you had the same breakup when you were in your 60s, you'd be like, ah.
Fine. Plenty of questions, eh? And like, so do you think you can be friends with someone that you've been sleeping with or seeing or dating or exes? Do you think
friends with benefits?
Or even friends with benefits. Yeah. Do you think they could be friends afterwards when there's no benefits? I mean, actually, do you think you can be friends with someone you had feelings with? Then when they're like, let's be friends, do you think that's possible?
It's probably possible, but I couldn't do it. No.
It's a little weird, yeah. I think I've had people message in and be like, well, I'm still best friends.
Would you though?
No, I usually cut them off in like a nice way. I just go, best luck with everything. And I kind of do the owl.
Nah, it'd be too painful.
Yeah, I haven't.
Why? Like, it's like stringing you along. If you really like them and they're not, it's not going to ever happen, then just like get out of there. Move. Go to another country, learn a language, meet someone else.
I know, that's what I feel. I might cut this out for the podcast and keep it for the Patreon. But so with the British guy, he was like, I really want to be mates because I'm just not ready for anything right now. And I was like, yeah, cool, like whatever. And since then, like, he's fucking texted me the past 3 days in a row, checking in on me, seeing how I am, like, just on my Instagram. But I'm also like, pal, my friends don't talk to me that much.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? That. Give me the space.
Don't even respond.
I know, it's hard because I do think he's like fun and stuff. But then the other thing is like, I have enough friends and I fancy him. So it's just weird when if you'd think he'd just be like, I'll give her space and we can be friends then in the future.
What are they playing at? Because if they...
What is he playing at?
If they don't want a relationship, why are they... And they know... You've told them already. They're going, oh, I do, but we have to end it. Then why are they stringing it along? Like, just in case, as a backup, in case of emergency, break glass because Katie's behind it.
Exactly. Like, my dad was like, you're not a last-minute option. But, like, that's the thing, because it's not – I didn't even ask for a relationship. I just said, I need more time to plan out my weekends. And he was like, I can't do that. And I was like, that's fine. So we ended it. But then since then, he's checked up on me, like – the last 3 days in a row, he was texting me on my Instagram stories and like chatting away to me. And then today I was like, oh, if he fucking texts me again, that'll be the fourth day in the row. I'll have to say something. I'll have to be like, I don't know. And then he's like liking all my posts, and the liking the posts is fine, but it's like also like, give me a bit of space. Like, I'm
scrolling, man. Like, yeah, just, yeah, I definitely think.
It's like he's like, oh, I'm not ready now, but I'll just stay in contact with her for when I am, or if I don't find anything better, which is even more offensive. Or it's like, oh, you love my personality enough to talk to me every day. Now I'm like thinking about my looks and stuff, which I'm sure it's not that. But, you know, you just give people space. It's like the nice thing to do, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For him as well.
I know, what's he doing? He sent a kiss in one of the messages. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Man, you stop sending them exes, because like you said no to that. So you've got to stick to it.
Yeah, I think what I'll do, one of my girlfriends, she's very like cold. She was like, you just need to heart it and ignore it. But I think I might send him a voice message and just be like, look, I know I said we'd be mates, but my mates don't talk to me every day. And we just ended last week. And you know that I have feelings for you. So just let me get over my crush. And in the future, we can be pally.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Voice note is good. No, yeah, don't do that in a text. Voice note is a very good idea.
You have to, because I want him to know that it's not like I'm not angry, but it's just putting in boundaries.
Yeah. Good on voice notes. And, you know, people used to always hate leaving messages on answering machines. But we're getting better at it now because voice notes are great because you can hear your voice. They're quicker. And they take up more space on your WhatsApp. My WhatsApp's always full. I'm
like, oh, my God, my WhatsApp. I was like, why is this 6 gigabyte? What is going on?
Why is it full? It doesn't even exist. It's not actual physical. You can't hold a message and it doesn't weigh anything. Like, why is it full? A gigabyte shouldn't be anything.
We should wrap this up soon.
How is a motherboard getting full of these little rocks of messages?
I don't know. Like, well, it's the same with my laptop. I was like, it says there's 10 gigabytes of mail being used, and I don't even have the mail connected to my laptop.
I tried to delete all that and like delete your cache. What the hell's a cache? I deleted it all. It's still full. I'm like, oh, what is gone?
I don't know. I literally.
I think my computer is a secret eater. I think it's a club.
No, that's so funny. You should do not to be annoying and say you should do a bit about that, but you should do a bit about that because where is it getting? It's literally it's a secret eater. You're so right. It's like a little.
Like it says, you know, this other. That's this huge gray margin. What is this other? It's just.
But it's like 50 gigabytes. What's going on?
My other is massive, and like, you know, I can't. I'm trying to edit a video. There's no space to even have the new video. That's only 2 gigs. I'm like. This computer's supposed to be holding a terabyte. Like, where, what?
Secret eater.
Ridiculous. I'm sick of the secret. And WhatsApp is always shutting down in the middle of something because it's full.
I know my
phone. And I'm like, WhatsApp! Worst joke of the... Sorry, I had to do that. WhatsApp! Is that why they named it WhatsApp? Nah, it sucks.
Yeah. Can I ask you before we go, do you have any advice for people wanting to have kids as a dad even?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just dive in. Like, it's never a good time. You'll never have enough money. You'll never have whatever. But just because if you and your partner are both like, let's have a kid, then that's, yeah. But then, you know, talk about it. It's like, let's have a kid in 5 years. All right, so, you know, let's have a kid, you know, just give it a shot.
How did you find it with comedy?
What's that?
Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, yeah, like, because you might have one, you might not. You might have twins. You might have quintuplets. Is that a word?
Fuck that.
You might
give tree back.
It's nature is the... Like, what's funny is, like, lazy sperm. Lazy sperm. I'm pretty sure I would have had it or did. But, like, all your sperm could be just sitting in your testes, just like, nah, I don't want to, like, eating pizza or whatever, watching Netflix. Nah, I'll get a job, like, playing PlayStation or something with a headset. Nah, I don't want to, you know. There's a scrotum down the road, I'm playing fucking Fortnite, you know. But it only takes one sperm to be like, oh, I'll see what's going on, you know.
Just one. Just takes one. And did you find it okay with doing comedy at night? Well, I guess, does your partner, does she have a day job?
Yeah.
So that kind of worked well.
Yeah, but what, I mean, obviously I had a kid for the material. That's why we do anything.
Of course. That's why I'm dating all these psychos. Like, it has to be. Why else am I ignoring the red flags? Because I'm like, well, I get a story.
Because it's making you who you are. You're going to have so many stories. It's the podcast that, you know, it's comedy. And then the one, they always say the one. You might have the one, you might have the two. In separate times, you know, one of the three, you know,
babies.
Everyone has the one for that time, you know, for that particular time. So some people have the one for their whole life. Some people have the one for
the one what baby,
the one person. Sorry, the one like lover, I guess.
Oh, but you could have multiple.
The one in the way that like Shania Twain is talking. Sorry, it went from child chat to partner chat.
Yeah,
and I'll come back to child chat. But yeah, sometimes you'd be like. Oh, we were meant to be together for, you know, this period of time. And then it fizzles out or, you know, they just become different people or whatever. And so you're supposed to have lots of, like, you're supposed to have lots of dates for material. Because that's like, you know, and then one day you'll be like, all right, now I'm really, you know like someone will come along and you're like, oh, yeah, now on to the next phase or the next chapter or whatever. But you won't know until, but it's, yes, I don't take anything. Personally, obviously, like for anything, you know, and
that's the best life advice. I feel like that for me in the pandemic was like a great thing to learn, or maybe it was just turning 30. I don't know, but I literally don't take anything personally now, and it's like so much nicer because you're just like, you can literally just be like, ah, they're just dealing with the pandemic. It's not me.
Yeah, because everyone's got their own thing.
Yeah, everybody's just in their own head. They're actually too, most people are too self-absorbed anyway to really care about what you're doing or be affected by it. So once you realize that.
Yeah, they're totally, but people are thinking about themselves more than you. So they don't even, the whole time, like I'm always, like I'm overthinking things going, like I haven't heard back from like that club. So, you know, so now, you know, and so does that mean I sucked or I thought it was good? And like even Zoom gigs, I'm messaging people after going, was that okay? You know, because you don't, you can see them sort of laughing at it, but you can't, you don't feel it. You don't feel it.
Yeah, so,
I need reassurance because, you know, that's why we do this, you know, low self-esteem. I'm like,
I know, I love reassurance. That's why I want to date someone who gives me compliments. I'm like, I can't deal with them even having a little critique because I'm like, you should hear the voices in my head, okay?
This what, you know how they say you're your own worst critic?
Oh,
that's sort of true, but no, I've had audiences that hate me way more than I have them. Like, I love being on stage. I've never booed myself off stage. They
no,
did that.
That's true. I do, and I love what I do, and I love the older and the longer you do it, the more you're like, ah, it's okay. That wasn't a great gig. You'll do better next time. You'll fix that, whatever. But yeah, the worst gig I ever did was in Dublin, and a Dublin lad literally just, I thought, I'm gonna quit. I was on stage going, this isn't fucking worth it. But I did the whole set anyway, and then I didn't quit. That was like 5 years ago, so.
You know what I find fascinating about like stand-up, right? Say you're a musician and people don't like it, you can still play or sing, or you know, there's been, say I'm, you know, doing this 20 odd years, whatever, someone on stage, no one's laughing. It's like I've never done any of it. You know, how can you be doing something for so long, like for years, like us, we've been doing it years, and then you get you do a gig and then you're going, it's like I've never done. They are not on board at all. And then it just feels like you've done, like I could have never done any comedy and got up and died my ass.
Well, I think it's because so with music, you can just listen to it and not really, but comedy, you have to pay attention and react. And just the way comedy is, it's just not everybody's going to be your audience. And that's it. Like I know I went and did a show for like all these old white people once, and I did a story about the pill. And I mean, I couldn't have turned them more. You know, I lost them. It was gone. They were like, woman talking about the pill. They were all old, white haired, white Americans, you know.
Yowzers.
Upstate. And this was a few years ago, but I still remember it going, oh, that was a bad move, Katie. They were my people.
Saying it. I better talk about guns or something, get them back.
I know, yeah. Pow, pow, pow.
And I had all those pills and my gun, and I was holding my Bible. I know it's not the Bible belt, but I was just stereotyping there. I'll just say.
No, but you are right. It is, you could just have like an off day or something could happen, or I don't know. Yeah, you could be having like 10 killer shows and then.
Yeah, and it's funny because like you could be doing the exact same sort of thing. And sometimes I like the gigs where they're not laughing. I like that even more sometimes. And like luckily it's few and far between, but they're the ones that sort of stick out because they're the ones you really learn from, right?
You do. Yeah, exactly.
One. And like when they haven't laughed in the first few minutes, you're like, right, this is just for me now. So you're just doing, it's almost, that's my therapy. Instead of going on a date and launching out my fears and anxieties, do that to a group of people that hate your guts. And it's amazing where your brain goes to find the funny in that, and it'll happen. And sometimes the best humor comes from somewhere dark. And then I'll be like, this is like, I'm trying out all this brand new stuff, digging deep. And then you try what you came up with, the people that don't like it, to a crowd that are into just the night and how things are going, and it rips. And then you're like, my instinct was right. They just weren't into it, you know? And there's something reassuring about that. You're like, I knew that was funny in it.
Yeah, and they're also, they're like audiences. I'd love if there was like a science experiment on it, because they're not one person. They are one person, but they're 50 people as one all of a sudden. It's like they share a consciousness all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So if you're a
comic, another comic's on. You've walked in halfway through the set. It could be during a setup, so there's no actual laughs yet, but you walk in and you can just feel the vibe. You know if they're into it or not.
Yeah.
You feel it straight away.
And they're not like, you never have it where it's too far apart, like one's, you're killing with one and like the other. If one isn't laughing, I feel like there might be another part that would think you're funny, but they'll kind of keep it a little shush now. They won't just be keep, it's kind of like they'll all kind of go with the letting you bomb. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. They love it. Yeah. Cause they're like, it's like the mob mentality.
Mob mentality. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. So if you get like one table killing, then it'll spread. But if you get kind of, well, that kind of contradicts what I said. But you know what I mean?
No, because if there's a couple of really good laughers in there, that can spread and then everybody's.
That really helps if there's some good laughers. But then there's like, do you ever get like a weird laugher where then it can kind of throw people? They're like looking at them like, what the fuck's wrong with their laugh? Yeah. And you're like, oh.
Then it throws everything. And it's almost like you're looking at them going, did you just learn to laugh?
Yeah.
Like, it's like laughing, everybody else are like, get out of here. Because then they can't think about what you're saying. Like, they just listen to this madman.
I know. There was this comedian, she doesn't do it anymore, but she would always go and watch the shows, even though she wasn't booked on the shows. And she had this laugh that sounded like a dolphin noise. And so it really, I was like, we were all like, she can't come to the shows. Like, we didn't say that, but it was like the dolphin laugh. And it was so loud, was distracting from whoever was on stage. People would be just turning around looking for it. And it was like, how she wasn't aware of that is mental to me.
Hey, like, can't you hear yourself? Like, when you see other people turning around and looking at you, you might be the problem. Like, it might be something going on. Have you ever been on stage and got someone ask you out from that, from just seeing you and being there?
Yeah. I've gotten most of my heckles are guys being like, give me your number. Or I'm like, okay, well.
Again.
Yeah, no, like that's just, they're always pigs. I don't like, not that they're probably nice guys, but I'm not going to go out with a guy who's interrupted me doing what I love.
Yeah. Yeah. And then have you dated anyone from the Nordic?
Well, I dated a guy for 2 months and he saw me at a gig 3 years ago. And he's been following me since, and he messaged me and I dated him, but he kind of had me on a bit of a pedestal and he'd been following my Instagram for so long. So I think in his head, he was dating this girl.
Superstar.
And then he, not superstar, but the girl that's on the internet is not the actual girl in real life. Like it's pretty close, but it's still, even if you meet someone online and you don't meet them, you have a perception of them, you know, how they talk, you know, like, or whatever. And so he just had a different perception of me.
Yeah, like, wasn't the podcast, isn't you like eating, watching TV?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, and he was like buying me things all the time. And I don't actually I don't need that. I need like quality time. And I just wanted to have the crack. And he didn't really want, he wasn't crack. That was it. He's shy crack. He got very emotional a couple of times, and I'm not the best to handle that when I don't know the person that well. So I don't know if I should share this now, but so I might cut it out for the real podcast, but, or maybe I'm sure it's fine, but he got emotional, like very emotional, if you know what I mean. Like, he cried. And I didn't know what to do because I'm just not used to that.
A dude that you don't know that very well cry.
Yeah, sure, I don't even cry. Like, I cry in the shower sometimes. Like, that's private.
I cry in the shower, my only place to do it.
Yeah, like, I'm a fucking Irish woman. What was he thinking? And so he started crying, and I got such a fright. I was like, oh, let me get you whiskey. And I just, like, went and got a whiskey, and he was like, oh, sorry, I'm just, like, because I guess we were talking about, like, his relationship with his parents, which was quite
traumatic. That is a cry trigger for people.
Yeah, and he just got overwhelmed. And so in fairness to him, I didn't stop dating him because of it. I just was like, I thought it was
childish and immature.
I was like, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen.
I was a crybaby. I've seen you cry early on, and we can't go here.
I know. I was like,
we all love our parents, mate. Come on.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just, it was a lot. But I had also experienced a lot of that here, a lot of these kind of,
Do you think American men are more in touch with their emotions?
Yeah. And it's nearly to their detriment.
Or like think about it too much and be like,
I think so. I think Irish.
TV,
I don't know.
TV or,
But it's women too, you know, like I'll have some friends who will be like saying they're going to therapy and they'll like, I remember I had a friend, she was telling me what she was saying to the therapist. And I remember thinking, just cut out the middleman. Like she had a problem with a boyfriend she was dating at the time, but like she should have just spoke to him about it. I don't know why she was paying, you know, and she had a problem with one of her friends. And again, she was like, oh, and the therapist was saying this. And I was like, I think you should just ask the friend because nobody knows. Even a therapist doesn't know this friend. Just talk to your friend.
You go to the therapist to deal with stuff that went through your childhood.
Yeah, and some fucked up shit.
That's what they're trained for. They're not trained in Sharon. They're trained in people's brains and getting, you know, growing up and processing. Word of the day, you know.
Oh, yeah. And also as well, I must say that if I were a scientist, my sample size of Americans is kind of, I probably was a bit attracted to like a bit like I like helping people. So there probably is an element of me being part of the problem. So I'm sure there's great American guys who have a 9-to-5 job because I met a lot of these guys after shows as well or in bartending because I was bartending too. So I'm sure there's lovely, normal Americans who just work 9-to-5 and live like a normal weekend life. But sure, I'm not going to fucking see them. You know,
no, you want people crying into their whiskey at a bar.
Yeah. I only fucking met the scary guy who didn't believe in space. I met him from the bar. I dated an alcoholic, but I met him from the bar. Dated the DJ. Now I met online, but like I should have known. You know, it said DJ. That was like fucking huge red flag. And then the architect and the British guy who were both lovely. Just didn't want commitment or whatever. Both I met online, whereas I wouldn't have met them in the real world because the real world, we're doing gigs every night. I was bartending any other night I have off. I'm not meeting people.
Yeah.
So my sample size, I could go, yeah, all these Americans are crybaby lunatics, but it's like, no, I'm meeting like guys in the middle of the night. I'm not able to go for your fucking brunch on a Sunday usually because I'm working at the bar.
Yeah. You should go to, you know those like game workshops where they play Dungeons and Dragons all night?
Get me a geek.
Oh, mate, geeks are the best.
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously ones that you like.
I'm also thinking I should just actually hide what I do and my Instagram for maybe as long as possible. Maybe I've been doing it wrong. I'm a nurse.
Give yourself a fake last name for a while so they can't Google you.
Right, well, they can't Google me anyway. Oh, you know, I was even thinking I should have never used my real name for comedy anyway, because
your age.
Yeah, I just wish I'd used my Irish name, because even thinking like, you know, when the lads do ask for your last name and stuff, and you don't want to be lying, but
Say it's O'Boyle.
I might just say it's Nivuela, which is my Irish.
They'll never be able to spell that. They can't Google it.
And then 6 months later, I'll be like, by the way, I talk about sex. I talk about where the clitoris is.
Yeah, do that.
No, but then I
Sandy didn't. I didn't tell her I did stand up.
You didn't.
Nah, like her. She found out from a friend.
Oh yeah, but you see, it's different because it's all over my fucking Instagram.
Yeah, see, I was lucky because Instagram didn't exist in 2001.
Well, here I should let you go because we've gone on there for quite some time. Thanks so much for doing it.
Hey, pleasure. I don't even know if I answered any actual questions that you wanted to know.
No, well, you did, because, well, it's nice to have someone on who likes monogamy, gave a male's perspective on the saying that you want something that could be potentially serious, not just casual, and we covered kids from a guy's perspective as well, and how even you just saying looking at the vagina, because I don't think men realize how traumatic it can be for a woman, and so you have so much respect for your wife and you've been together so long. And the little bit of advice about scheduling sex. This is great for the listeners to hear.
That's true. It's all life, but obviously that's all just my perspective. Everyone would have a different perspective, but.
Well, that's it. Where can people find?
Oh yeah, that's exactly where. At Damien Clark, DamienClark, and TikTok, which is Damien Clark Comic, and then Twitter and Facebook.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.